morning to you, and we do wish you a great good morning on this summer day in Florida. That's going to be hot out there, I guarantee you. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, where it's nice and cool right at the moment. Hi there, I'm Tom McCubbin, Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida and former host of Better Lawns and Gardens. We're just happy to have you. Lizzie's here with me. Without Lizzie, by the way, we can't get the program up on the air. She's in control, so she can turn me off, turn me on, whatever. Welcome aboard.
Welcome. I appreciate that. But yeah, I don't think I'm that good, but I'll take it. So. Yeah.
That is true. Without you, I couldn't do anything. I mean, I'm just sitting here. Anyway, Lizzie and I have been waiting for you. Where you been? We've been ready to go.
I know. Almost an hour now. We kept looking at each other, twiddling our thumbs, talking about what we're growing, what we're not growing, how hot it is.
And that's right. Well, anyway, you're here and we appreciate that. Teresa's off today in Buffalo in Canada, Niagara Falls. I feel a little sorry for a couple of reasons. One is it's probably a little cooler. But second of all, they got the smoke going across there.
It is. Yeah.
I think she wrote in one of her text messages that one person had a little bit of difficulty and had to stay inside with the smoke. And it looks like it can be fairly serious. And with the World Cup games up there in New York with the smoke coming across and stuff like that. So I don't know. We've had smoke in Florida. Do you remember? I think it was 1998, when we had so much smoke and came across and everything. We can smell it from time to time. So anyway, we hope Teresa and her group there have a good time, and I'm sure they will no matter what. So we will take your calls a little bit later, but if you want to text us, that's okay with Lizzie and me, 23680. Feel free to do that. Text us your message. And last time I did this, I had a little trouble with the text messaging. But if it happens this time, Lizzie will take them and yell them over to me or something.
Yes, I'm on it. I'm on it this time. I didn't realize your screen hadn't refreshed. My bad.
The weather's been very hot. Last week I was out doing an all-day consultation, and the weather was 97 degrees. Oof. 97 degrees. I saw on my truck thermometer 103. Ooh. Of course, that reflects the macadam and stuff like that from the road. But so that's pretty hot out there if you're walking on it. We got some rain. Now, you've had rain.
Yes, we had a little bit. I mean it's not a desert at our house yet.
Yeah, well, at my house it was for about a week or so. It always happens when my neighbor goes away, because I'll help them with their yard, water their plants, things like that. And if it rains, I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, when they're away, it didn't rain.
Well, hopefully they'll tip you.
Yeah. Oh, well, the lady of the house supplies great meals, let me tell you.
There you go. It's a good
really
tip.
Good. Now, we've got a half an inch yesterday, and over the last 7 days, I'd say we've had 1 inch of rain. So we're looking for some more, that's for sure. I brought in some leaves. The Caladium Festival is this week down in Lake Placid. Next weekend in Lake Placid. Don't go down this weekend. You might see some great caladiums, but next weekend is when it's all happening. And I brought in two leaves. One is one called Sweetheart, and it's red with a green edge around it. And the other one is called Midnight Oil.
Okay.
And I mentioned last time on the program that I had bought the bulb, which is really a tuber of Midnight Oil, and it was just, I think, starting to come up at that time. And you get, when you buy something like this, I got something as big as my thumbnail is what it was. And I said, I don't know if it's going to make it or not. So I potted it up. And over a period of time, about a month or so, it started to grow, which was kind of nice. And Midnight Oil is a dark, I would say kind of purplish with some reddish tinges to it. And it's kind of nice. It's a neat one. And it was new last year. Dr. Hartman Classic Caladiums developed this one. And so it went on the market, and I went up on the internet and I got the bulb. And it wasn't very expensive either, and shipped it in, not from Florida, kind of interesting. Nobody in Florida was offering it, but out of Georgia. And so they shipped it out of Georgia to me, and I'm growing it. And last year, my son and I, we had a father and son type voyage, and we went down to the Caladium Festival, which is next weekend, 24th, 25th, 26th, and we bought the Sweetheart one, and we've grown those. So it's kind of neat. I have a nice little collection of caladiums, not a whole lot. My favorite one is Carolyn Wharton. Old time, probably 100-year-old variety, probably, or about. And it's got the red, the green, and the kind of yellowish color in it, and it's reliable. I mean, that thing comes back up every year and produces lots of leaves, and I really like that one. There's some other neat ones, too, Postman Joyner, Fanny Munson. I have to tell you a story about Fanny Munson. I couldn't find Fanny Munson one time on the market, so I called down to, at that time, it was Sun Bulb, and I called on the phone. I asked him, I says, where's your Fanny? And I got all different kind of replies out of that. But what had happened, it was in 2004 that we had all the hurricanes and the fields flooded, and the Fanny Munson variety was flooded out some. So it was very limited on the market. And so that's where Fanny went to.
Yes, and I just looked it up. And it, that, the Carolyn Wharton?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It's almost like a, it's like a splatter in a way, like not a splatter, but I don't know how, like, looks like somebody took acid and threw it on it, but it's a pretty acid. I don't know how to explain that.
No, it's a pretty one, and it's reliable and very durable, very durable. So I kind of like that one there. But anyway, I am enjoying my caladiums, getting excited here because pretty soon we're going to be planting a new garden. And Lizzie says she has some peppers still growing there. Mm-hmm. And I'm harvesting peppers. I eat the bell peppers. But I'm getting rid of the weeds. And I wore out my string trimmer. So I had to buy myself a new string trimmer. So anyway. But we'll be back with you. We'll talk more about the garden and things that we're going to be doing. How's my landscape doing? You can send us a text message. 23680. We're right here for you from the Summit Responsible Solutions. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Thank you for joining us this morning on Better Lawns and Gardens. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. And Lizzie and I are happy to have you here. And I'm getting excited, I said, about gardening, but first I want to let you know that next hour, my good friend Roy Levin joins us to discuss lawn care at this time of the year and what are the main pest problems. I'll also ask him what he thinks is the best lawn, put him on the spot, and I'll give you mine and tell you what I think is the best type of lawn to have. Not necessarily the most variety planted, but the best type of lawn. This week, I had a neat experience. I visited with some friends this week. They had no lawn, no lawn at all. Lots of minimal care shrubs, perennials. He's a landscape architect. He's a landscape designer. They use stone, gravel, and pavers for walking and ground covers throughout the landscape. Really neat. They say it's about a third of an acre, but I believe it's even more than that. It really is a neat landscape. One area of what I think was crushed Florida rock was used for walking and bocce ball. And I think that would be fun. So I kind of like bocce ball. You ever play bocce ball, Lizzie?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, you toss out a ball, and then you everybody else tries to get their ball closest to that ball. It's kind of better than golf because you don't have to go as far, and you just kind of you're still chasing a ball around, no matter what. I don't know. Anyway, like I said, I'm getting excited about my garden because in 1 month, just about 1 month, it's the middle of July. In 1 month, I'll be replanting the garden, and as I said, I wore out one string trimmer, getting my garden ready, getting the weeds down. The weeds got ahead of me, I will tell you. Oh. If you came over to this horticulturist garden, you would find it was all weeded. The weeds are down now. I'm rototilling it, getting it all back in shape. Mm. But in that process, the head on my weed trimmer, string trimmer, whatever you want to call it, went out on me. So I had to buy a new one, a new one. The new one's much more powerful. The old one was 15 years old, didn't know me a whole lot.
I needed an upgrade.
Yeah, so it needed upgrading. And I'm tilling the soil. If you want, it's probably not a bad idea to have the soil pH tested. You can get that done through the university, or you can get a kit and do it yourself. I have a little kit, and I'll test the pH myself. And you adjust it if needed. Most vegetables like it somewhere around 6.5. So if it's not acid enough, you can use sulfur. If it's too acid, you can use lime. And lime provides magnesium and calcium. You can add organic matter, composted manure. You know, I feel bad for the animals because when I was a kid, we didn't compost the manure. But today, so many people are sensitive to the organisms that animals have. I guess when I was a kid, we grew up with them. I mean, I had manure in my pockets. And they told me if you put manure in your shoes, it made you grow. Well, I didn't do that. But I do remember going out into the fields, picking up the animal chips and bringing them back from my grandmother's garden.
Yeah.
And so I'd put them in my pocket.
No, 100%. No, I would do the same, to be honest with you. We would go into the cow fields around us and pick up the cow chips and bring them back and put them in the garden.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But today, you know, so many people haven't grown up on a farm or around the animals like you and me. And so we use composted manure. And that's what black cow is, for instance, composted cow manure.
Yes.
So that is just fine. And you have turkey manure, so you've got all of it going there. I will warn you, turkey manure is hotter. It means it's stronger. It's easy to burn plants with it. I was a graduate student, University of Maryland. I had a race with a friend of mine, and I was telling him that I could beat him with manure. He was going to use regular commercial fertilizer, and I got turkey manure, made up a solution, put it on my plants, and killed all the plants. Oh. He said, that's it. He wouldn't give me another try. I'll start planting in around the middle of August, unless I give cantaloupes a try. If I give cantaloupes a try, they will go in August the 1st. I have not planted cantaloupes, muskmelons, whatever you want to call them, for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have fond memories of me and cantaloupes growing great cantaloupes. This was in Maryland, and I grew some good ones in Florida also. But the thing I remember the most, I think, is looking down in my garden with a bunch of doves down there pulling up my cantaloupe seedlings.
I wish that was the minor problem that I have, but I swear I think that my property is nothing but the home of stink bugs. Like, they come here.
Oh, you do have trouble with them.
It's horrible. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's to the point where I don't want to plant, like, tomatoes. Oh. I don't want to plant melons. I don't want to do any of that because it is, no matter what I spray.
Have you tried spinosad? Spinosad?
Maybe spinosad? Not.
It's a natural control and low toxicity. And if you get it on when the stink bugs are first starting, mm-hmm. it affects the immatures. And so you might give it a try.
Okay.
Spinosad, it's under Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Don't you love that?
I love that. That's a good name.
Yeah. Supposedly the organisms are found in rum brewing groups down in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And so they cultured it out, and that's where we have it. But Fertilome has it in theirs, and Southern Ag also has spinosad or spinosad, however you want to pronounce it. So, when you have that problem, you remind me, and I'll tell you again.
Now, would you recommend, because we're tilling right now, would you recommend for me to go ahead and put that down now while I'm tilling to counteract this?
No, you have to have the immature stages there, and then you can spray them. When they're young like that, give it a try. See if it works.
I'll do anything. I'll tell you.
Maybe it'll help you. But anyway, I'll give cantaloupes a try again. I think I'm probably not going to plant corn, although I might. It's on my favorite list. I'll have Tom's top five in just a little while. But this year the squirrels beat me to the corn. Roy.
Mine are earworms.
Yeah, I can handle the same product as spinosad.
Okay.
It'll take care of them. Does a great job. Either that or invite the wasps in. The wasps love them. I am sowing seeds now, as we speak today, for tomatoes and peppers, because in 4 weeks, I can have a transplant ready for the garden. Peppers may take 5 to 6 weeks, but I can have a transplant ready for the garden. And so I'll be doing tomatoes and peppers. And the way I do that is I plant, those seeds germinate very readily, especially tomato seeds, and I'll put one tomato seed to a small pot or a cell pack. And with the peppers, I'll still do the same thing, but you often get more skips out of that, meaning the seed didn't germinate. But it'll work out fine for me, I guarantee you. Let's see. So that's basically my gardening at this time. I've got the weeds out. I'm tilling it. I'm sowing my seeds. I may plant cantaloupes on August the 1st. I'll work in any manures, any compost, any organic matter, and I hope you'll do that too. How's the landscape doing? Recovering from winter? I have areas that I have to decide what to do. I haven't at this point. They're still void where I lost a few plants or pulled them out, couldn't wait for them. There's some plants like crotons, for instance, or this little trinette, dwarf schefflera. How long do you wait for that plant to come back?
And I don't know.
I have waited. I remember 1 year, and the 4th of July is over. I remember 1 year waiting for a croton to come back or start to grow by July 4th, and it did. It came back, and I have a lot of communities, and I find that in those areas, a lot of these plants are coming back from the base. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday of a plumeria, frangipani, Hawaiian lei plant, and it was just coming up from right at the ground, a new shoot coming up, and they wanted to know whether they should leave it or not. And I don't know. You know, sometimes if you can't wait, you go out and buy a new one. That may be the best. I noticed that the nurseries are recovering, that a lot of the plants were vacant are there now. So we have a possibility of getting the plants back.
And with you saying that, like last couple years, I've reminded and highly encouraged our listeners to right now, this week or within the next 2 weeks, go ahead and order your frost blankets.
Oh, yeah. If you want to get them, sure.
Yes, because see, if y'all just remember, look at your yard, see what happened. Because, I mean, I'm one of those people. I had them, but I didn't have enough for that 3 day of like a freeze
we basically had.
Yeah, it was like 9 degrees.
Did they work with 9 degrees? Or I mean, we had 24.
Some of them, like I lost quite a few hibiscus because it was just way too much for them. So
at my house, 24 degrees, and that was for about 12 hours or so. And no, a lot of the plants, I laid them down, put blankets on top of them, things of that nature, and they still froze back. Yeah. To the ground. I mean, I lost my hibiscus totally.
Yeah. And, you know, you could potentially go ahead and also research right now, like the Christmas lights that are not LED.
Yeah, that's
right. And then this way you're ahead of the game for, because I'm not a meteorologist, so don't take this as this is what's going to happen. But we just had 2 winters of extreme, like we had 4 weeks of really cold 2 years ago. And this one, we had 9 degree weather in some spots and snow. So I'm just saying, you may want to go ahead and do your fun stuff that you need to help.
Yeah, go to a garage sale or go to an estate sale. You might be able to find the Christmas lights there.
Facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought a whole case of Christmas lights one time at an estate sale.
Oh, those are the best. Those are the best finds.
Yeah, yeah. We'll replace some plants. I'm going to get a greening resistant citrus. I haven't done that yet. And so I want to do that one that, you know, is resistant, somewhat resistant, tolerant, I guess is the better word. I think they'd like me to use. Dana Venrick, a quality green specialist, said he was getting some in. So I will make a contact with him again and see when he gets some in there. Fertilizing container plants. You know, there is a fertilizer ban on throughout much of Florida, not all of Florida, but check with your county agent. And there's a fertilizer ban saying you can't fertilize landscape plants. But normally under that ban, you can still fertilize container plants. So check it out. You can fertilize edibles also. So I'll be fertilizing my plants. I mean, I just want to keep them going. I want them looking good. And so that's what I'll be doing. Repotting lots of plants. I've got some that are root bound in containers, so I'll be doing that. And I'm enjoying my coleus. And I planted coleus from seed. And, you know, I planted the seeds in March, and I had a transplant ready to go in my garden by the end of April. I use them in containers normally. And coleus is a coat of many colors, as they say. And I got all different kind of leaf patterns, neat plants. And I can go ahead and make cuttings now and enjoy them that way. So
oh, nice.
I love the coleus. I'm growing most of my things from seed. I'll be honest with you, it's getting so I can't afford to buy things on the open market. So I'll buy a packet of seeds and grow them that way. That's why I'm doing my tomatoes and my peppers. I have other reasons for doing tomatoes that way, and I'll tell you later. But anyway, coleus, I just decided to grow them from seed. And now what I find, the coleus are flowering. They bring in the pollinators also, which is kind of nice. And so they're starting to grow seedlings from the base now, kind of neat. Tell you what, we'll be coming back in just a little bit here. We'd be happy to have your questions. You can give us a call. Call 888-455-2967 or text us 23680. I'm Tom McCubbin, and we're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions. This is Florida Talk and Entertainment Network. It's a great Saturday morning. We're happy to have you with us here at Better Lawns and Gardens, coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions studios. What are you going to do today? Well, when I get home, I know I'm going to be planting my tomato seeds. I'll be doing that. I'm hoping to get back out in the garden. Got my rototiller all fired up. I ran out of gas. I was down there rototilling. I guess everybody does that. I don't know.
No, it's true.
But
it's
ran out of gas. So what do? You go over to your neighbor's house, and the neighbor didn't have any gas either. So here I am. I take off, and I go down to the station and get some gas and bring it back. So now I've got gas for the mower and also for the rototiller.
Now you're set.
I'm set. I want to remind everybody, Caladium Festival next weekend, 24th, 25th, 26th, Lake Placid. It's worth the trip, I will tell you. You can go down there, and you can take the ride. It does cost you a little bit on the bus, and they have a person who's an expert on caladiums. And we had Dr. Hartman, who developed that midnight oil, which was kind of nice. And we went around the fields, and it was a father and son day. Jeff and I went down, and we had a good time doing that and looking at the fields. Ate lunch there, bought a few bulbs, and came on back home and enjoyed.
That was really nice. And also that the midnight oil that you were talking about, Tom showed me, and it almost looks silky, and it's black. And if you look at it at a right angle, it has like hints of like red in between.
It's like old oil. Yeah.
Wow. Don't
rub it. You'll get your hands greasy.
So, you know, Teresa does like a haunted, like a theme for gardening sometimes. That would be something I would think that you would want to plant.
Yeah.
And it'd be black, and it kind of fits that whole theme.
You know, I don't think it's going to sell very well. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
For the curious gardener, for the one who wants something different. But I think that Sweetheart, which I also gave you, is going to, and Carolyn Morton, is going to be seller. I mean, there's tons of caladiums. University has three new ones. I think they're going to be on display also.
I think if they marketed it right, then they would actually sell, because I know that there's a famous tattoo artist, and she is into the whole black stuff, like everything being black and gothic. And she actually does the black tulips. She grows them at her little small city that she lives in. And people come from all over the United States and other countries to come see this. And so I'm thinking that if they market this right, that they may be able to sell
something different. Yeah, unique. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have to work at it, I think. Jean Reed wrote me here. She said she was looking forward to the show. Thank you, Jean. Jean and Don are old friends, I'll tell you. We've known them for a long time. They were master gardeners. And she said they have 3.5 acres. Oh, I wish I had 3.5 acres, I think. I think I wish. But she says it's getting old, but still getting out there. And they're growing calabaza, Cuban pumpkin. It's a big squash type thing, winter type squash. And so she loves them, and she says gardening's great therapy. I tend to agree with her, that's for sure. Do we have somebody up on the line here?
Yes, we have Bev from Tally.
Oh, Bev. Hi, Beverly. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. How is you?
I don't know. Lizzie, how I look, okay?
He looks very nice. He looks very dapper. He looks like he's ready to go out and weed eat.
It looks like I just got up is what you're saying.
No. My dog grooming business is Dapper Dogs, so that's a good word.
Very good, very good. So what are you up to today? How can we help you?
Well, I have a couple questions. One is, last year I bought a giant petunia, and the blooms were real big and so deep purple that they looked black, and it's kind of been dwindling away a bit, and I wonder if a petunia has a lifespan.
Yes, it does. And you bought this last year?
Yeah.
Boy, you're lucky. Of course, you're in Tallahassee, a little bit cooler. My petunias right now, I grow them from seed every year, and boy, they're gone. I have one that's struggling. It's going to go on the compost pile very soon. But so you're lucky to have that. Yeah, normally they give out within 6 months anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to keep trying to prune it back and nurse it along, and maybe if I take cuttings, will they be new plants or will they just be?
They'll be the same if you can get it to root from cuttings. You're lucky.
Yeah, they do that all right. And
okay.
Then I had another question about you've seen the pictures of my amaryllis bed, but I also have paper whites and daffodils out there.
I know you're lucky.
And I'm not exactly sure where they bloom because they go away and hide, but some of them are heaving out of the ground.
Okay.
And I've just put them in a paper bag, you know, in some place that doesn't get a lot of sun. But should I try and go out there and dig up around the bed to see if I can find the rest of them?
No, I just leave them there. They should be
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Great.
And ones, if they're coming up out of the ground, go ahead and put them back in the ground. It'll be fine. You're lucky because you can grow the paper whites and some of the daffodils, which is really good.
Beautiful.
In Central Florida, you know, they're a one-time show at the best, but in the Tallahassee area, you get cold enough so that you're okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And one more thing I wanted to commiserate with your neighbors that have three acres. We have 8 acres.
I know. You got a big piece of property. I wish I had something like that.
Well, I still love it, but I have to have some help these days.
Yeah, well.
With the mowing and stuff. And for 9 months, we didn't get a drop of rain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you can't burn anything.
No. Well, you're getting rain now, right?
We're finally getting some rain. I'm glad, but when it rains, I don't need to water. But when it doesn't rain, it makes me get out there and turn my beds on and move my sprinklers around. And I can get about 3,000 or 4,000 steps in just doing that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, keeps you busy.
Yeah.
I got to run, Beverly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. My wife, Joni, used to tell me I had all the property I could handle. Now I got about 1/2 acre, and that's about it.
Oh, goodness, we got 2.5.
I know.
We used to have 5.
Did you used to have 5, you say?
Oof, yeah.
I would like to have 5.
It was great because back then, that's whenever we actually had a self-made little pond, and we would do like mudding events and wonderful stuff like that. But yeah, no. To have to mow and take care of.
If,
no, thank you.
If a portion of it was woodlands, you know, kind of trees and stuff like that, native plants, that wouldn't be too bad.
No, not at all. Mm. Not at all.
But open land, having to mow it all the time, that would be kind of a chore, I think.
I'd have to invest in some goats.
Yeah, I'd like to have some goats. I don't think in my neighborhood that would be very popular. And even a couple of sheep, that would be good too. I grew up in the farming community, you know. How about a cow? That would be nice. Anyway, we're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions studio. This is not the regular farm program, but it is Better Lawns and Gardens. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And good morning to you. I'm Tom McCubbin. If you haven't figured it out by now, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're happy to have you with us, and we'd be happy to take your phone calls, 1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Right now, I want to do Tom's top 5 vegetables to plant next month, okay? And number 1 is the tomato. We like cherry and grape tomatoes. One like Sweet Million, Sweet Treat. Those are all some of the good ones. Sweetheart is another one. But I'll be planting my tomato seeds today, so I'll be having transplants in about 4 weeks. It's amazing. During the summertime, they grow rapidly. Next of all, we're doing peppers, and that's number 2 on Tom's top 5. I like the bell peppers. I know Lizzie likes the hot peppers, but I like the bell, and my favorite bell pepper is Better Bell. That's the name of it, developed by the University of Florida.
Yes, that's what I get all the time.
It is a good one, I will tell you. Okay, number 3 on Tom's top 5, summer squash, yellow or zucchini. Maybe from time to time I will go with butternut or acorn squash. The only problem I have with them is that they are a little more bug-prone. And squash plants, you need to get ones that are downy mildew and powdery mildew resistant. But we like our squash. Squash and onions fried up together. Mighty tasty. Number 4, Tom's top 5, bush snap beans. Not string beans. I had a professor told me, he said, don't call them string beans. I spent my life breeding the strings out of the beans. So they're snap beans.
Snap beans. I've heard them called both.
Huh. Yeah, well, string beans still have strings in them, but most of them are snap beans now, so they don't have the strings. And number 5 on my list is corn. Now, I love to grow corn, and I think I'm growing it for the squirrels these days. So I don't know.
Well, at least somebody's getting it.
I may not plant corn, but I'm thinking, here's the extra out of Tom's top five. The extra one is cantaloupe. I think I'd like to get back and get some cantaloupe in the ground and see if I can grow them and keep the pests down. The biggest problem with cantaloupe is the pests. They get into them, and so they cause us all different kind of problems. Anyway, Tom's top five, tomatoes, peppers, summer squash, bush beans, snap beans, and corn. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's talk to Pauly in Oviedo. Pauly, good morning to you. Hello, Pauly. Are you there? We're giving Pauly five, four. Pauly, are you there? Let's go to Jerry. What do you say? Jerry in Citrus. Jerry, good morning to you. Hello,
good morning,
Jerry.
Tom.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. You're doing fine, I hear. Wow.
Yeah, right now I am, yes.
I got a couple questions. I have the Arc Freedom Blackberry.
Okay.
Primocane.
Okay.
And I get a nice crop of on the floricane in the spring, and now I get a smaller crop, and the berries are smaller, and they're connected together or real close together.
Okay.
On there, what is the cause of that situation? What am I doing?
Okay. I doubt if you're doing anything wrong. It's probably just some environmental conditions that are causing that. And just keep the plants growing, and they'll eventually grow out of it.
Okay. And the blackberries will continue to do that type of thing in the when they're in the primocane.
Yes, they could. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And the other one, you mentioned spinosyn.
Yes.
Does that kill the lubbers?
No. Well, you know, I have some reports that when the lubber grasshoppers are young, spinosyn does have an effect on them. You know, so that would be the larva stage. So that may help.
So is there anything better out there?
We're using just a regular products, the synthetic pyrethrins. Things like some of the ortho products and the bioadvanced products. And they're probably the other option you have. But you want to get them when they're small. When they get big, they're really pesticide resistant. We used to use the old 7, not the new 7, but the old 7, which used to work out real well. But the 7 is still there, and it's a synthetic pyrethroid, so you might give it a try.
Okay, what's the old 7 compared to the new 7?
The old 7 had a different insecticide in it, and it was good for chewing-type insects. Okay?
They did a switch on it, huh?
Yeah. Became less favorable. Okay, Jerry, you have a great day. Thank you. Okay, which one you want me to go to?
Let's go ahead and take Pinky real quick.
Pinky, good morning to you.
I have 12 raised garden beds, and I do veggies every year. But every time I try to get a jump on seeds from my tomatoes, peppers, anything that I try to plant, I develop legginess. I don't have a greenhouse. I don't have a way to put them outside because of the, the heavy downpours that we get.
Okay.
And the grow lights, in the
house. Yeah, makes them leggy.
Anyhow, they're on my porch right now. They're germinating. Is there a setup that I can put out on my porch to try to get them not get leggy, or is there something I can put them outside that alters the rain from downpouring on them?
Okay, what I have done, Pinky, is they've got to be outside. They got to be in full sun. So what I've done is taken clear plastic, put it up on some tall something, table or whatever, stretch it over it, and then put the seedlings underneath that so they get the full sun. They've got to have the full sun.
Okay, so I could take my arch cattle panels and lower them and do that too with the plastic. That's perfect.
Okay, anything like that where you can get the full sun on the plants and keep them out of the rain. I set mine outside, and I'm just very careful. If I know it's going to rain, I'll give them a little more shelter. But they've got to have full sun, otherwise they're going to get leggy.
Okay, that every year, every spring and fall, that's what they do. Okay,
well, that's what you need
to
do.
Thank you so much. I will try the plastic now.
Okay, sounds good. We going to Pauly now? Yeah, Pauly, good morning to you. How can we help you today? I understand you have wasps.
Yes, thank you so much. They come back every year. I've lived in my house 30 years. I've looked for a source. I don't find nests. They always hover around the stucco overhang porch, but they come out around 10 in the morning, and now that it's so hot, they will even stay till like 9 until they leave, and they terrorize me. I mean, they come after me.
They know you're scared of them.
So many things. I'll just tell you real quick, I've heard to get 7 dust, but I can't find where they're coming from.
Yeah,
and I also, a pest control guy said to clean the entire overhang, which I did, and then slather it with original golden colored Listerine. So I did that, and it's doing nothing. And they're just coming back, and I'm wondering if there's any suggestions.
Well, you know, there are wasp traps. You can buy them. You can go up online there, and the wasp will come in there. They're brought in, I guess, by the yellow portion of the traps.
And they work well.
They work well. Lizzie says they work well. So you might want to get a wasp trap. Otherwise, they're coming in for other insects. That's what wasps are after. They come in after spiders and all different kind of things like that. So if you have any of those around, that's going to be part of the problem. But I think in your case, the wasp traps may be your best bet. And if you have a picnic or something, they suggest you set them out at the picnic table, and that will help keep them down. So does that sound like something you can use?
I'm sorry?
I sound like something you could use?
Yeah. Well, is there a name of one kind, or
no,
Home Depot, or where do you get it?
For me, it's like any of the box stores that carry, and they kind of look like a cone, and they have like a plastic shell over the top of it, so they'll fly up into it, and then they can't get out.
Yeah, you can find them at the big box stores, and places like, I'm sure, Ace Hardware, stuff like that, will have them.
Is it something that hangs, or you put it on the ground?
You can hang it. You can set it on a table. Okay. Any place like that where the wasps are bothering you.
Oh, geez. They're not coming after spiders. They're coming after me.
you're their taste treat right now. Yeah, well, sound like this might be something that'll work for you.
Yeah, several years ago, I got bit by 3 in a row right at the same time, and it's horrifying. Now I'm petrified. But I got near a nest, and they got me twice on my spine and once on my shoulder, and it's terrible.
Yeah, normally they're not that aggressive. Yeah, okay. Okay, I hope it helps you, Polly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take care. You know, wasps, it's normally the Pilestis wasp, which is not an aggressive wasp unless it has a big nest. My uncle used to play with him. He used to put his hand up near the nest, and they wouldn't come after him.
Mm. It was kind of... He just maybe had that special, that whisperer. Maybe he was a wasp whisperer.
Yeah, maybe. Huh. I don't know. Or some fragrance. I don't know. A real quick question here I get. Will the Norfolk Island pines recover? And right now we're starting to make the decision. I'm seeing a bunch of them that will and a bunch of them that won't. If they got any green on them, there's hope that the Norfolk Island pines will recover. If they're totally browned out now, my guess is you're not going to see the Norfolk Island pine in that spot. And, you know, most of these come from little Christmas trees that people bought. So when Christmas comes around again, you can get a new Norfolk Island pine. But Norfolk Island pines are really kind of browned out, and there's lots of variations. Some of them are alive, and some of them have a little green, and some of them are totally dead. So I think we're going to be taking a lot of them out in the future here.
Also, Pearson's Nursery texted us and said that they have 7 dust and they have wasp traps.
Okay, the 7 dust. I don't know whether it's the old 7 or the new 7. So it'll be interesting. You can ask Karen or Howie when you get there. We're certainly happy to have you with us today. We appreciate all of our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions, Quality Green Specialist, Peterson's Nursery, and we'll look forward for the next hour when Roy Levin joins me. We're coming to you, of course, from the Summit Responsible Solutions studios. I'm Tom McCubbin. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.